fighting for America.
And I think I need not remind anyone on this committee, like any American, Sergeant Bergdahl has rights, and his conduct will be judged on the facts, not political hearsay, posturing, charges, or innuendo.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hoping for the sake of the family that you all will go away and leave the family alone, let the process work, and let them get back to their normal lives.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, we cannot go on like this with nothing except speculation up in the media. I mean, he deserves better. We deserve better.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I appreciate the chance to be with you again, brother. I look forward to being back out in Idaho. Thanks, Semper Fi.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. It is K. Milley in the morning here at 580 KIDO. We're joined by one of our regulars, Alma the Anti-Fracker. It's been a while. Good morning, Alma.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Well, I'm eager to hear your tips on how we can be more fuel efficient, more energy efficient, and create more jobs here in the state of Idaho. So you've been... Have you been very busy making sure that there's no fracking going on in the Gem State?
I've been pretty busy, yes. In fact, this past weekend, I was hanging out with the Gem County Tea Party folks at their booth at the Cherry Festival in Emmett and had a wonderful time.
Now, wait a minute. We don't want to hear that you're hanging out with the Tea Party and having a good time. You're joining forces with the Gem County Tea Party?
Well, you know, Kevin, the folks at the Gem County Tea Party get it about the trampling of private property rights as it pertains to oil and gas exploration and development in Idaho. And they've really taken it as a banner cause, and we're handing out a lot of flyers at the booth, information on water testing, how this impacts your private property rights. And they're just all over it, to be honest with you, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, thank you for the Gem County Tea Party update here, Alma, as we talk about this. But at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, you know, we have this big lands debate going on, and the governor has said he's tried to get the lands back and is still working on that. You have other people that say that we need the public lands back so we can, you know, do some timber, we can get some oil going, we can revive the industry here in Idaho. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm not in agreement that the state should retain or seek to get the public lands all back in Idaho, because honestly, I don't think that the state of Idaho is doing a bang up job with managing the state owned lands that we currently have. And a real good example of that is the auction that we just had of mineral rights that on April 17th, they leased out over 17,000 acres, the bulk of which, by the way, were in Ada County, for mineral rights development. And there are a lot of folks sitting on ground now that are in split estate situations that have absolutely no idea that the mineral rights that underlie their homes have been leased out for oil and gas development by the state of Idaho.
So that means what? They're going to have drilling on their property?
They could have, yes.
And they have no recourse.
And they have no recourse. That's correct. They can attempt to enter into a mutual agreement with the state of Idaho. But, you know, if you don't want it, they can basically force you to allow it on your land. And I'll give you a quote from Idaho Code 47-36.
Well, hold on. If that's going to put us to sleep.
No, it won't. I promise. I think what it's going to do, it's going to fire people up, because I think people have no idea. Idaho Code 47-317, Section 8, quote, "The commission shall have and is hereby given jurisdiction and authority over all persons and property, public and private, necessary to enforce the provisions of this act, and shall have power and authority to make and enforce rules, regulations, and orders, and do whatever may be reasonably be necessary to carry out the provisions of this act."
So you believe, though, so the federal government is much better steward of the lands than the state. Is that what you're believing? What are you believing?
I don't think either the federal government or the state, honestly, Kevin, is doing such
right.
a bang up
but,
job.
But you have a choice. I mean, we have the feds that don't take care of the forest, then we have the fires, and then we have everybody else that's saying, look, we need to cut the timber, we need to start producing oil, we need to be like Wyoming and North Dakota, and we need to let the good times roll, because that will create jobs. Are you buying that at 580-5436, 580-5436?
I'm not buying it at all. In fact, the jobs argument is just a fallacy, because I actually have a poster board that I did of all the license plates of all of the jobs that have been created, the workers on these pads, and I think I saw
one.
Well,
you have a poster board. I'm intimidated by that.
For Boos and what
I
have you.
I don't think
you,
I've never heard that before. So what's, I mean, but you look at North Dakota, you look at mm-hmm. Wyoming. These guys are doing well. We're losing a lot of our men to these places. What's wrong with doing that here in Idaho?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin, because most of the I actually know a fair amount of people that work in the Bakken and out of state. And if you talk to any of them, they go there to make the money. That's true. But they do not want to see what's happening there in the Bakken, for example, happen here in Idaho. If you talk to, for example, a wife of one of the people working there, traveled there last year, and she came back and said, you know, it was reminiscent to her of a third world country. She didn't feel safe to you know, be out in the middle of the day in some of these little towns. It's the crime, the traffic, the prostitution, the drugs, you name it.
Sounds like Nevada.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not sure that that's what we want for Idaho. I mean, there's a reason that we all live here in Idaho, and I guarantee it's for none of those above reasons.
All right, let's go to the phones. We go to Craig in Boise at 580-KIDO. Alma, you got to put on your headphones Alma, the anti-fracker, and Kevin Miller. Good morning, Craig.
Yeah, I hear a lot of doom and gloom here. She's a very, very nicely sounding and very articulate woman, but a lot I have never heard of any of this stuff from any of the North Dakota shale oil and fracking. You know, this almost sounds like it's, if you subscribe to this, all these things are going to come in and we're all going to go to hell, and only in a very nicely phrased tone of voice. And honestly, ma'am, I don't believe you at all, because you don't believe that the federal government should manage. You don't believe that the state should manage. You don't think the state's doing a good job. Well, I used to work for the Idaho Department of Lands, and given the ability for them to manage the forest, they would do a significantly better job than the federal government. So at this point, I think you're being fairly intellectually and emotionally dishonest with your happy talk. So anyway, that's all I have to say, Kevin. Thank you.
All right, Craig, thank you for the call. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I mean, we have all these lands. Shouldn't we be using them to produce, Alma?
You know, Kevin, I think that the problem with the analogy given by Craig that the Idaho Department of Lands is doing such a good job is a fallacy. They're not doing a very good job. And I'll give you a prime example. If they were doing a really good job, they would have taken the time to notify those folks whose mineral leases were leased right out from, or whose surface rights were taken away from them by the leasing of the minerals underneath their ground. And, there were a lot of people that are adversely impacted by that. Most of them have absolutely no idea. That's key. I mean, there are a lot of split estate situations out there, and no one in the state of Idaho, including the Department of Lands, who does oversee this, is bothering to notify the surface right owners of the fact that their private property rights are going to be impacted in an extremely adverse way.
Well, how many homes are we talking about here?
You know, I haven't actually had a chance to look at those numbers, Kevin. Unfortunately, the way you have to do it is they go by tracks, and then you have to sort of go back and figure out the legal description. Then you've got to go to county records. You've got to pull those.
Well, wait a minute. So you're just speculating without any information to back this up.
Well, I don't know the number of homes. That's true. But I do know.
Is it in the hundreds, the teens, the thousands?
I do not know, and I don't want to just throw out a number there.
Well, you're scaring people.
Well, you know, I honestly, Kevin, they should be scared. I mean, for the longest time, people in Ada County and Canyon County and all other counties in Idaho were just hearing that this is just an isolated, you know, it's just Payette County, it's just a few wells. Well, guess what, folks? I've got news for you. There are 4 brand new well applications pending now. Yes, for Payette County. Canyon County now has their very first natural gas well, and they're leasing ground all over the state.
Well, what's the harm in that?
What's the harm in it? The harm in
it. I mean, they're doing it everywhere else. We're the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. Why don't we, in fact, and this is the counterargument to you, and a lot of people, once they wake up, will say this as well. They'll say, look, Alma, we got an energy crisis. We got $4 an hour gasoline. We need to pump this oil or get natural gas out of the ground, and we need to get our economy going. It's our future.
Well, you know, the problem with that argument, Kevin, is that there are currently, and I've lost track now because the number changes daily, but last time I checked, I think it was 28 applications pending with FERC that would either convert existing import terminals into export terminals for liquefied natural gas or build brand new terminals. So this you know, fantasy that the oil and gas companies are selling us that this is for our, quote, energy independence is, I call bull, because what they're planning on exporting this, it's you know, initially, you know, we hear a lot about energy independence. Now what you hear, especially in Washington, is about how this is going to be good for us to export all of this energy. And I say, you know, if you're going to extract it, keep it here.
So what's the danger of Idaho becoming more energy independent?
Well, the danger of Idaho becoming more energy independent is that we don't have any local control. Okay, we have no say-so. The legislature took that away with House Bill 464, and we have absolutely no say-so where these wells are going to go. They can go in your backyard. If you're a split estate, they can go on your property without your permission. They can go in your kids' school playground. They can go next to a hospital. They can go next to a nursing home. They can put them anywhere they want, because the Idaho Department of Lands, in my opinion, is nothing more than a rubber stamp agency. So we have absolutely no protections in place. They're not even requiring any groundwater monitoring or baseline testing prior to drilling of these wells. There's no protections in place for Idahoans.
No protections. Do you buy that? We go to D.C. in Meridian for Alma the Anti-Fracker with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO.
Morning, Kev.
Good morning.
Hello, Alma.
Hi.
Don't worry about people like the caller. What was his name? Craig. He is the poster child for the, I don't see a problem, it's not affecting me, therefore there is no problem camp. Okay, and I see that everywhere. My best friend, my most trusted friend, I would trust him with anything I own, went to work, he does steel stud framing, he went to work in North Dakota. He came back within 6 months in disgust at the greed, the graft, the corruption, the what they're doing to the environment. I don't have a problem with drilling for oil over here. I have a problem with the method, and so does he. He saw it firsthand. And he was making almost $30 an hour.
Well, what's the problem with the method, DC?
Have you heard about all the sinkholes and all the collapsing roads and everything? That's not just from infrastructure. Okay? I think there is stuff going on underground that we don't even know about, which I won't even get into because it's going to make me sound like a whack job. But the fracking is doing damage that we don't even understand. They don't understand. They don't care. And that is the problem. That's for your soapbox, Kev.
All right, DC. Thank you.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, Alma the Anti-Fracker with us here at 580 KIDO. So, Alma, let's talk a little bit about some of the atrocities that you found here in the state of Idaho.
In terms of what's already happened here? Okay, so when they were drilling the Smoke Ranch well, there was a spill of, I believe it was fracking fluid. The Idaho Department of Land said it was actually admitted that it was a water-based fracking fluid, but the problem was that the diesel was so pervasive, the smell was so pervasive that you couldn't be anywhere around there for longer than a couple of minutes without having respiratory issues. And I know because I and a dear friend of mine experienced that while we were there. they're also not monitoring where the water's coming from. These guys could be using our irrigation water to drill and frack these wells, in addition to possibly using our canal systems, our irrigation canals, to dispose of their fracking fluids. That's happened in multiple states across the country, resulting in livestock deaths, fish die-offs, you name it.
But there's no proof of that happening in Idaho.
Well, not yet. But remember, Kevin, we actually only have one producing well in Idaho right now, which is on the Tunison Dairy out in New Plymouth. And that's actually a partner well between Intermountain Gas and Alta Mesa out of Texas. And that's the only well that's currently in production right now in Idaho. So, you know, as we add more wells to the mix and as industry expands out into other areas and other counties, we, mark my word, we will see the problem that we've seen in other states. Idaho is a great state and we have a lot to offer, but unfortunately industry is not going to operate any differently here than they have everywhere else.
So what about the government, though,
in terms of
protecting us?
What protection, Kevin?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there has to be regulations, right? You can't just dump a bunch of oil into the canal, can you?
Well, yeah, sure you can if you get away with it. I mean, what happens is these guys, they contract out with independent companies. And then these independent companies, if you are curious, Google a gentleman by the name of Alan Shipman in Pennsylvania, who was responsible for a 28-mile die-off of a creek, the Dunkard Creek in Pennsylvania. And he dumped I don't know how many millions. There's another gentleman in Ohio that was just indicted federally for dumping I don't know how many millions of gallons of produced water or flowback water into a river that supplies millions of Ohioans with drinking water. So it's a common problem. And industry, unfortunately, you know, you're talking about corporations, foreign corporations, out-of-state corporations, whose only interest is their bottom line. And they need to extract those hydrocarbons and get maximum profits. And unfortunately, private property rights and the environment and public's health are impacted adversely in the process.
You would argue, though, in some states, and we have the extreme examples, fracking has been successful in Pennsylvania, in North Dakota, in Wyoming. Sure, you have your issues. And not to underscore those issues, but, I mean, it is working. It is revitalizing the American economy. What do you say about that here in Idaho? I mean, can it be done safely?
You know, in my opinion, Kevin, it cannot. And let me just throw out some figures here. These are figures, and this is for anybody who wants to look at this. You can Google Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and Corsentino Dairy Farms, that's Corsentino Dairy Farms Incorporated. This is a letter from their attorney, Fognani and Fault, PLLC. And this is about petroglyph, the coal bed methane gas extraction they were doing in Colorado. This is their attorney's letters to the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission about losses that this dairy sustained. And those losses entail several different areas, loss of milk production, loss of cattle, loss of corn silage, additional cost for corn ration. And between the years 2002 and 2008, that dairy sustained $3,459,804.58. They expect future year losses of per year losses of $658,331.89. Now, mind you, this dairy has 450 cows. So we have a lot of agriculture in Idaho. In fact, you know, I would argue that we're an agricultural-based community. What kind of impact is that going to and harm is that going to cause to our agriculture when these guys start when they start dumping into our irrigation canals and that?
And you're saying state government is no defense because they've sold out to big business.
Oh, they've sold out to big business. We're actually right now in the process of negotiated rulemaking on the terms that the that industry has to adhere to when they're conducting business here in Idaho. And what we keep hearing repeatedly, Kevin, is, well, industry isn't going to agree with that. Well, that's not good for industry. Well, industry doesn't want that. And never once have I heard, well, this is in Idahoans' best interest, or this is in the best interest of the public. And, you know, we not only do we have agriculture, but we have recreational, you know, our recreational waters are big business here in Idaho.
I'm with you, but at 580-5436, other states are doing it.
Sure, other states are doing it, and other states have lots of problems. You mentioned Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but I don't hear the big stories except from you.
Okay. Well, that's because the industry doesn't want you to hear them. They're way too busy out there spending millions of dollars on advertising, feel-good stuff. But, you know, they're not talking about the issues at all. And let me give you an example of the issues. There's a gentleman, unfortunately, who just passed away on June 6th. Name was Terry Greenwood. Terry Greenwood came out, and you will excuse me if I get upset when I talk about this. I didn't meet Terry, but I met a really good friend of his, Ron Gulia. Terry was a livestock farmer, and he ran limousine cattle. I think he had 15 cow-calf pairs. Terry started experiencing livestock die-offs in 2007. I think he had a few cattle die. Long story short, eventually every calf out of his cows died. And not only did they die, but they had no pupils. Their eyes were white, but there were no pupils. Well, Terry, 4 months ago, was diagnosed with an extremely rare form of brain cancer. I think the incidences are like 1 in 50 million or something in the general population. Terry's farm was in a town of about 300 people. A half dozen other people in this town in Pennsylvania also have now been diagnosed with that extremely rare form of brain cancer. And Terry said way back when, in 08 and 09, he was out there trying to get the word out about what the health impacts were, talking about his dying cattle and the impacts to his herd, and it very prophetically said, you know, I'm worried about my livestock, but I'm even more worried about the human population and the health impacts.
Alma, quickly, how can people get a hold of you?
Sure, they can contact me at my email address is Idaho, all spelled out, care, C-A-R-E, just like it sounds, at yahoo.com.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men.
Men, 538, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO, Dave Burnett with us to talk about all things that are good and manly. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
You know, usually this is the dead time of year, and it seems like we're just recycling story after story after story. And before I get to my version of the recycled stories here at 580-KIDO, have you found anything this morning that would be of interest to the Manly Man segment audience?
Yeah, you know, I did. I ran across one story. It's kind of sports related. Are you familiar with the Lingerie Football League?
I almost thought you were going to say, are you familiar with the country of Ghana? But no, yes, I am familiar with the Lingerie Football
League. Oh, yeah. So Facebook and Twitter blew up over that. Yes, it's like, U.S. won! It's like, okay, whatever. The Lingerie Football League... And I don't know if this is a precursor of what we're going to see happen in the NFL, but the Redskinettes,
yes.
I think that's what they call themselves, they have announced that they are renaming themselves the Warriorettes for the upcoming lingerie football season. The Warriorettes. Do they know something we don't about the Washington Redskins?
All I know is I resemble that remark whenever I go out into the sun.
The Redskinettes?
Yes. Yes.
It's just kind of fun to say that.
It is.
So I guess what's politically incorrect about that whole sport is the name has nothing to do with playing football and lingerie, but what's politically incorrect there is the name Redskins, so they're going to call themselves the Warriorettes. Are we going to see the Washington Redskins change their name to the Washington Warriors?
Boy, it's kind of tough when you think of Daniel Snyder, who has said that he will not do that. Now, speaking of the Lingerie Football League, is there a time in a moral man's life, in an adult man's life, if there is such a thing, where you grow out of watching the Lingerie League, where you go out of looking at someone and going, ooh, is there a time when men really mature past the junior highism, if you will?
You know, it's a funny thing. Glenn Beck was with his dad before his dad passed away. In fact, here in Boise. And there was a very attractive woman that came into the green room, and everybody's heads turned. And she did what she needed to do and then left. And Glenn, he I don't think he'd mind telling this story out of school. Glenn turned to his dad and said, "Dad, does your brain ever stop?" And here's his dad, who at that time was, you know, 80, went, "No, son, it doesn't." And I thought, that's scary. I think there's a time, though, you grow up past lingerie football. I have to admit, I've never really watched lingerie football. But I would hope you grow up past that. But well, I think there's certain God-given instincts inside men that there's, you know, you learn to control it.
Yeah, but on the other hand, and we've talked about this before here at 580KIDO, I remember a popular sports talk show host in Pittsburgh. And he was talking about this young lady, Sunny Abada, who was in her late 20s, was a very attractive woman, and now she's a star in Orlando, doing very well. Very nice young lady. And he was talking about Sunny in her jeans and how attractive she was. And I'm going, okay. And he was close to 50, I think, at the time. Mark Madden, we call him the super genius, a brilliant, brilliant broadcaster. And he was talking about her, and I'm going, where have we crossed the line from, hey, I'm a cool dude, to creepy, leechy, leery, old guy? I mean, there's one guy that can get away with it. I guess two. That'd be Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
Yeah, there's several out there that get away with it. But, yeah, there comes a point for most of us would become creepy old guys.
And they look at you as the neutered fatherly figure.
Mm-hmm.
And some men will misinterpret that and say, oh, no, they like me. No, you're not a threat.
Yes. Gray hair has part to do with that.
You're like Dr. Oz.
Yeah. I mean, there comes a point where, like, the waitress is suddenly very nice and touchy-feely with you only because you're like her grandfather.
Yeah.
So it's okay because you have gray hair. So there comes that point. But yeah, within the man's mind, I don't think that ever goes away. It's just the difference between us and animals. We have the ability, should have the ability, to control it.
Right. By the way, good morning to Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. He's not a new listener to the program, but he always likes to smack me on Facebook so early in the morning. So.
Is he smacking you right now?
He does. He has the running commentary. And I think Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, forgets that, you know, actually I have to try and do a show, not just have a kibitz with him back and forth on Facebook.
What's he smacking you about?
I don't know. He said 10 questions every liberal should ask every Republican, 6th edition. I can handle the Washington lawyers. He goes on and on and on. And, you know, some things where he's talking about lawyers don't have hearts and everything else. It's almost like he's doing a shtick, if you will, counter to the shtick that's going on here.
He thinks lawyers don't have hearts and he's a lawyer.
Well, he said that their hearts have been replaced by certain implants. I think you can guess where I'm going with that.
I don't know. I've got a lawyer that's got a good heart.
Well, there we have it. So we have the lingerie football team, the Redskinettes.
No, Warriorettes.
Going to the Warriorettes.
Yeah, the Warriorettes.
And so then we have this issue involving the Idaho Republican Party. It's funny, I had a source yesterday tell me, now you can't say anything because this is what really happened. And then I read Popke on Politics today. It's the front page. I was sworn to secrecy. And Popke gets it anyway.
And I think Maggie will tell you that it was total chaos. Was it total chaos, according to your super secret source?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was getting updates all weekend long, and you know, we've had that. And Maggie's talking about Channel 7 did like a 5-minute story on it, and really, it comes down to the grassroots versus the establishment. You've got Brad Little up there, you've got Congressman Labrador up there, you got the goofs from Idaho Public Television up there. It's just kind of crazy.
You know what? You know what my feeling is. Whether you're talking donkeys, elephants,
hold
or
on, let me just say this.
Yeah.
What is your feeling?
My feeling is good, good. There should be debate. There should be talk. There should be challenge. Good. I don't care which group it is. If you just go in and lay down and everybody get along, kumbaya, nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. Nothing's moving forward. I just think it's good. Re-examine yourself.
Well, we'll see what happens up there, but it's big news. But on the other hand, nobody votes. Nobody really gets into it anymore. And you think to yourself, okay, is this really newsworthy? I found myself during the Sunday shows, as I told you yesterday, I'm going, dude, this stuff is boring, and I'm into it.
Yeah.
You know, the only show I really, two of them were, was Bob Schieffer, number one, and number two was this issue involving Martha Raddatz in Baghdad. Now everybody's back to Baghdad. Now the troops are going back to Baghdad.
Yeah, the picture on Drudge. Have you been on Drudge?
Oh, yeah.
The front picture, it took me a long time to figure out what that was a picture of.
Thought it was Buddha, didn't you, or somebody?
I thought it was like a glove or something. Then I realized what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it took me a long time. I was going, what is that? It's kind of like one of those Facebook pictures where you got to figure out what it is.
Well, they're, what, 300 troops back now, and, you know, they did a big thing about the embassy, and should we evacuate the embassy? That would be a big mistake, because the embassy isn't like, it's the largest embassy in the world. It's more like a prison when you go there, and I don't know if you recall when I was describing the embassy when we were outside of it. It's one of the scariest places that I've been. I looked at the embassy as scarier than going outside the wire, based on the amount of people, I'm not kidding, every 10 feet, there's somebody with an AK-47.
Well, I mean, the question is this, and when I really sit and think about it, the whole thing sickens me, but will it get down to where it's a battle at the embassy and the ISIS are fighting their way in to try to take our embassy? Is that what it's going to come to? And do they have enough helicopters to get our Marines out?
I think that the ISIS couldn't take the embassy. Well, no, they've got the Stinger missiles now.
Yes,
they've got
they do.
These things, but I think that's why we have the aircraft carriers over there now. And
will we use them?
I don't think we're going to have a choice.
That's a scary thought all in itself.
Well, now we've got the. We're so desperate. We're having the government of the former crazy Mahmoud help us. Who would have ever thought?
I know
that we're going to bring in the Iranians to help the Iraqis that hate each other, but we've brought them together, and now we're going to give them air cover. And this is from. Look, take, as you would say, the donkeys and the elephants, take it all out of the room. Take it all out of the room. Here's the skinny. Our foreign policy has been a disaster under this administration.
Yes. Since the time that we saw in Egypt the columns and the deity announced, you remember that speech in Egypt, our foreign policy has been a disaster.
And guess who was right? Guess who was right the whole time?
I don't know. You?
No, not me. For once, it was crazy Glenn Beck and the Caliphate. Mm-hmm. Remember everybody saying he's nuts, and he was playing it yesterday during a show, and he was right.
Yep. Again, too many times he's said things, everybody goes, what a nut job, and he's right.
He was right, and, you know, they're talking about it yesterday, but you really go back to the lives lost. You go back to the people who, in fact, have lost loved ones.
Yes.
And you wonder, what was it all for?
Yeah. Well, and there was a lot of people. In fact, you might have been one of them as well. When we pulled everything out of Iraq and created that vacuum, saying that, no, bad things will fill that vacuum. And look what's whooshing in. And for those who don't know, it didn't just happen over the last week. It's been happening for a year. And it's just now beginning to climax for whatever reason.
I've got a question for you at 580KIDO.
Okay.
The latest on the Bergdahl story, God bless Channel 7 for going down there. And Mark Johnson doing a great job yesterday during his 4 o'clock stand-up, telling us absolutely nothing, because he had absolutely nothing, but make it seem like it was absolutely something. He did a brilliant job there. A brilliant job here yesterday with us at 580KIDO. But I'm looking at our cover for Kevin Miller Tuesday morning for our website at 580KIDO. And this is one that I've used a lot. And I think it'll be very controversial, which is kind of strange. And it's the one where I'm with Mr. Bergdahl and we're standing with Bo, the sign behind us. And I'm wondering, do you think that's appropriate to put on our website?
Well, we know that the Bergdahls, from a friend of theirs, is saying that they're just trying to avoid all of the hubbub around it. They're just waiting, you know, for word that, you know, that they can go see their son and begin that reintroduction as well. So, so we know that's taking place. But, you know, hopefully they're trying to avoid it, you know, no matter what happened. And again, to me, let the military do their investigation. Let them decide what happened.
But no, I'm saying, should I put this on the website?
Yeah, why not?
That's the question. I mean, because as you referenced the woman there, because she had a makeover with Jenny Bergdahl and she's getting ripped. I don't get it. You know, it's funny. And Jeff Manasso seems, And Dave, full disclosure here, you have no problem telling people publicly when I'm wrong.
No, I'd be happy to. But no, I think you're wrong to put that up.
Are we missing something? Because Manasso yesterday, well, you know, we've talked to people in Haley. Dude, we've been to Haley. Don't try and out-local us on our own story. And the national perception, the Sean Hannity perception, and we love Sean, but it's just different. Are we blinded by, because it's Idaho, because we follow the story?
We see it differently. I won't say we're blinded. We do see it differently. For some people, Bo Bergdahl just came on the radar a few weeks ago. I mean, that for some people, they did not even know where Haley, Idaho was. Most probably don't anyway. They think it's near Des Moines. And and they had no idea who the Bergdahls were until they suddenly see Bob Bergdahl sitting by the president or standing by the president and the president with his arm around her. And that's the first they ever knew and or heard. And they immediately go, terrorist, look at his beard, terrorist. And they don't know the whole story behind all that. I mean, the Bergdahls are leaning on their faith, from what we hear from a friend, to get through this time. And yes, they still go to church every Sunday.
I just sit there and I marvel at the vitriol and these guys ripping the Bergdahls. And the young lady, she's like getting nasty emails and stuff.
I'm wondering, and let me just wonder this before I go to traffic. I'm wondering if some of the anger and the outrage, while it's coming to the Bergdahls, really isn't about the Bergdahls. It's just that anger and frustration that everyone has, that we're all sick and tired of all of this. And here we go back into Iraq. That's what I'm wondering. And it's not being taken out just because we're just sick and tired of all of it.
And quickly before you go to traffic, you know, it just stung me, you even saying that.
That we're sick and tired of all of it?
No, going back to Iraq.
We're going back to Iraq, Kevin.
Yeah. No, I mean, really, it stung me in a way that, well, I know you got to go to traffic, but yeah. It's horrible.
Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canyon County.
5:59 coming up next. We'll check in with David Ripley, Idaho Chooses Life, get the latest from the fallout of the big Republican convention debacle, the latest on Iraq, and you.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.